Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Lessons must be learned after American betrayal. Those are the words of Mark Carney, the Canadian Prime Minister, after his party won a fourth term in office. Now, it's still unclear if his Liberal Party will have enough seats to form a majority government. He's already spoken about how relations with its nearest neighbour, America, have changed.
America wants our land, our resources, our water, our country. Never. But these are not idle threats. President Trump is trying to break us so that America can own us. That will never ever happen. But we also must recognize the reality that our world has fundamentally changed. We are once again at one of those hinge moments of history. Our old relationship with the United States, a relationship based on steadily increasing integration, is over. The system of open global trade, anchored by the United States, a system that Canada has relied on since the Second World War, a system that, while not perfect, has helped deliver prosperity for a country for decades, is over. These are tragedies, but it's also our new reality. We are over the shock of the American betrayal, but we should never forget the lessons.
Well, let's get more on this now. Graham Finlay is here from the UCD School of Politics and International Relations, talking about your home country today, Graham. And you did get to vote, would
yes,
you say?
Yes, and I'm very grateful to you for asking me if I was going to vote, because I went back to my car and immediately checked to make sure
this
I
This was the given, last time you were on.
Yeah, I hadn't given out false information and dispirited Canadians throughout Ireland, of which there are many. And it turns out I was doing it wrong, and I was trying to vote locally, and of course they wouldn't let me do that unless mm-hmm. I planned to come back to the locality, but the embassy was incredibly helpful about telling me and supporting me to vote by mail, which involved an envelope within an envelope within an envelope, and postage was free from Ireland, so okay. It was great. Thank you.
And a lot of people voted in advance and electronically and in all sorts of different ways, didn't they? And we have
yeah.
a very quick result.
There's not a lot. In fact, there's almost no e-voting. But they had there's advanced voting, and in particular in Pierre Poilievre, the Conservative leader's riding of Carleton, they allowed people to vote especially early because the paper ballot, was almost a meter long. There was a group dedicated to electoral reform to make their point called the Long Ballot Committee, who rushed about 90-something mm-hmm. candidates into that particular constituency to get this ridiculously long ballot. And it takes them three times as long to count these ballots. So they got to vote earlier as
right,
well.
Right, and millions of people did that. Now, we're still waiting to get the very final result, which will decide whether Mark Carney gets that majority. He seems to be fairly clear, though, does he, that's not coming, that he might need back up here.
It looks very difficult for them to form a majority. They need 172 seats. It's close. They're elected 153 constituencies. It's leaning in 15. Some of the races are very, very close, with almost all the ballots counted. It's possible they will eke out the next four they need. Anything is possible. Mm-hmm. But it looks like they'll need to depend on a third party. And that's going to be a problem, because the New Democratic Party, led by Jagmeet Singh, a politician for whom dapper should be invented as a word, lost his own seat. They lost teens of, in terms of the percentage of vote, most of their seats. They only are looking at about seven seats. Now, that's enough, but having been punished as the propping up of the Liberal minority government for the last couple times, you know, whether they'll have an appetite to go into government is not clear. But at the other hand, they're not going to coalesce with the Conservatives because the numbers don't work.
Mm-hmm. So where did those votes go?
Those votes went to the Liberal Party.
Right.
We saw that throughout sort of the campaign. The shift in favor of the Liberal Party was largely from the NDP. The both the Conservative and the Liberal parties in this polarized existential election gained in their percentage points. In the last election, the Conservatives won the popular vote, but both the Liberals and the Conservatives were in the 30s. Now they're in the 40s with just a couple percentages between them. But so it looks like the NDP, because the other third party which could make up the numbers is the Bloc Québécois, which is devoted to Quebec leaving Canada. So they're not really the party right now for a federal government facing an existential
crisis. So what's he going to do?
He's already talking like he's going to be prime minister, and he is likely to be prime minister. He's going to continue to have a robust relationship with Donald Trump. After a call with Donald Trump, Donald Trump stopped referring to Canada as the 51st state until just before the election, which caused Pierre Poilievre to ask Donald Trump to butt out of the election. He may well work with China, who is trying to get all of the countries of the Pacific to join hands, as they put it, to combat these Trump tariffs. Canada obviously has a big interest in pivoting towards China, finding new markets for its goods. It's unlikely that Canada will arrest Huawei executives the way it did in the past, which caused a serious rift between Canada and China. And, you know, Vancouver is a huge port for the importing of Chinese goods. We have a huge Pacific coastline. We have a large Chinese-Canadian community from various Chinese-speaking countries. The pivot towards China could really help bring some muscle to Carney's efforts to stand up to Trump.
Electorally, though, did this crisis with Donald Trump really help Mark Carney?
Oh, I mean, unbelievably. It's the biggest turnaround in Canadian political history. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump's direct attack on Canada has rallied Canadians around the flag like I have never seen in my lifetime. It is extraordinary. And because Mark Carney wasn't a minister, wasn't a member of the Liberal government, he's got an incredible experience as a central banker, both in Canada and in the United Kingdom and in international investment banking. He's got all the credentials which Canadians love, like a PhD in economics from Oxford. He just looks much better like the person to turn to in a crisis because he has near government experience. He has an understanding of international finance. And Pierre Poilievre, his opponent, was a career politician who's not very likable and looks pretty Trumpy with his Canada First for a Change slogan.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate, wasn't it? But I mean, Mark Carney's problem now is his political inexperience. I mean, he is a newcomer, isn't he? I mean, even how he delivered that speech, which we heard the clip from there, the words sound right, but the delivery is wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, his presentation isn't great. And particularly, the biggest liability he overcame was his inability to speak French very well, which previously wasn't assumed on the part of any serious prime ministerial politician. But Quebecers, in particular, forgave him even that and voted for the Liberals instead of the Bloc Québécois. The Bloc Québécois lost about a third of their seats. I think there's a big difference between campaigning and governing. He's got the natural governing mindset of the technocrat, of the central banker, of the financial investor. And the next election, hopefully, is a long way away. So I don't think he'll have trouble governing because that's what he does. But he will have to keep an eye on keeping this momentum going, keeping Canadians behind him. But again, the way Canadians are feeling right now, he's going to have a long honeymoon, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, and as you say, his background suits the narrative right now. Canadians feel, according to this vote, that he's exactly what they needed in this moment because of his experience.
Yes, and you know, it's being alleged that, again, what he might have told Trump when Trump, causing Trump to back off a little bit, was that Canada would start dumping sovereign debt. The U.S. is massively indebted, as Trump kind of likes to point out, to other countries. Canada has some of that debt. China has a lot of that debt. So again, if countries like China, Japan, Korea, who've already said they're going to work together, are joined by Canada and other creditors of the United States, they can really make things difficult for the U.S. by raising their borrowing costs, because it doesn't look like they're going to slash the budget the way Trump wants anytime soon.
Now, I know you said that Canadians have rallied around the flag like you've never seen before, but there are still regional divides, aren't they? They're politically.
Sure. The Liberals actually lost seats in their heartlands of Ontario, gained seats in Quebec, again, at the expense of the Bloc Québécois. The Prairie provinces, Alberta especially, but also Saskatchewan and Manitoba, mineral rich in the case of Alberta and Saskatchewan, sort of agrarian in the case of Manitoba, you know, did vote solidly conservative with just a few seats being picked up in the cities. Interestingly, the First Nations communities of the North and Northwest Territory, where Mark Carney was born, the first prime minister from the territories, you know, they tend to vote for the Liberals, maybe for historical reasons. And then out on the West Coast in British Columbia, or as British California, as people sometimes see it, the NDP vote there really did go to the Liberals. Mm-hmm. And you got a little bit more of a divide. The Maritimes on the East Coast, very, very Liberal.
Will there be a shift now in how Canada deals with the EU?
I think so. I mean, Mark Carney in his speech explicitly said that they were going to change their entire outlook. They can no longer expect America to be our biggest dependable trading partner or ally. So they need to diversify their markets very, very quickly. And with transport costs being reduced and with Canada's vast mineral wealth, that is a possibility. Now, the actual transmission of those of oil and gas through Canada to Europe is a bit of a logistical problem. But I think that's something Canada is going to be focusing on. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's certainly helpful for the EU because the whole focus, isn't it, is for Ursula von der Leyen and her team, is to find new markets, develop existing ones. And Mark Carney's election in Canada will only help that.
Yeah, and this tremendous disruption of global trade, which, again, we're still a couple of weeks out from seeing exactly how bad it's going to be when those boats from China don't arrive in the United States, for example, or when prices really double or more in the United States. You know, there aren't any changes to trade between the EU and Canada. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we will see a great deal more activity. We'll see more interest in the free trade agreement between Canada and Europe. There are some hurdles in this country to getting that over the line. But all in all, even if Trump backs off completely tomorrow, the trust is gone and everybody, nobody wants to be exposed to this shock again.
Changed utterly, isn't it? Graham, thank you so much. That's Graham Finley there from the UCD School of Politics and International Relations. Now, it's one of Europe's most gridlocked cities, but should the long-awaited Galway bypass go ahead now or be scrapped altogether in favour of a metro? We debate.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.